Our topic this morning is this. Please read the fine print before signing. Our scripture lesson is in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, reading verses 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. It reads like this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Dear Father, as we pause a moment longer in this service for prayer, we are thankful for our blessings already received, and we pray now that you will make this message live in our hearts. We pray in thy precious name. Amen. Have you ever entered into some kind of a contractual agreement and bought some kind of product and signed your name on the dotted line and then found out very quickly that it just didn't work at all? Well, most of us have perhaps had a problem or two along this line, but we were comforted to know that in large, bold letters on that contractual agreement, we saw the comforting phrase, fully guaranteed, warranted. And so we went and found those papers and pulled them out and tried to read the particulars of the guarantee, only to discover to our dismay that it plainly stated in very, very fine print, absolutely guaranteed, for 1/2 hour following purchase. All parts and labor. Didn't help us too much at that point. We could have saved ourselves that kind of problem if only we had taken the time to read the fine print in the contract. We'd have never bought it under those conditions in the first place. And I want to suggest to you this morning that those of you who are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you have entered into a contract, an arrangement with the great God of the universe. And I hope you read the fine print before signing, because there were some things involved in you joining the church that perhaps you might not be aware of. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor. It's my impression that church membership is the easiest thing in the world to have. It may be difficult to get into a service club because you have to pledge your attendance. You have to agree, I'll be here every week when this club meets. Beyond that, you have to agree to pay dues. There's going to be an annual fee for belonging to that club. Maybe hard to get in. Maybe hard to get into a fraternity or hard to get into a country club. But the church has a standing, open invitation to everybody, and the only requirements are be a Christian and keep the rules of the Bible and of the church. All a fellow has to do is say, I will or I do to these requirements, and you're in. Membership is easy. Really, in all the years I've been taking members into the church, there has never been a time when I've required personal references from anybody. I've never required someone to vouch for those who have come into the church. I've never given any aptitude tests. I wouldn't do that because I would be afraid that I would have to take one and I'd probably fail. There's been no investigation to determine your capacity to be a Christian. And that's simply because the church has the same amazing faith in persons that Jesus had. The church believes that any man, any woman, every teenager could be a Christian, could be a vital Christian. The church doesn't require any financial statement. You can get in without giving a dime, and there's no dismissal from the church for failure to support the church. Oh, it's true that our church in this month of February is emphasizing stewardship, and included as an important part of stewardship is our church's belief in the importance of storehouse tithing. Giving 10% of our income to God, not because we have to, but because we want to. The fair way to help His kingdom to advance, go forward. But even though the church believes that, you do not have to do that to be a member of the church. The truth is, you can belong to the church without even attending very much. And there are many who prove that to be true. Now, clubs may have requirements in this regard, but you can stay a member of the church and hardly ever attend if you don't want to. When I joined a service club here in Olathe, I had to tell them that I would faithfully attend the meeting. And they apparently believed me because they took me into membership, but they didn't just take it for granted because they said, well, if situations should come up that you would have to miss like 3 meetings in a row, we'd have to tell you that you'd be liable to have your name dropped from the club roster. 3 times and you're out. Not only that, if you miss the Wednesday noon meeting, you're supposed to make it up at one of the other clubs around the city that meets on different days so that the club can have 100% attendance. When you stop to think about it, it's not really so hard to see how a person might feel the church membership is cheap and easy. It's possible that even some of you right now are saying, yeah, you know, the more you think about it, it's true. Nothing else demands and costs so little as keeping my name on the roll of the church. But if you're saying that this morning, I want you to be sure to read the fine print before you make a final decision. Read the fine print in what it means to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. For if you think it's cheap and easy, you're forgetting at least 2 things. You're forgetting that anything worthwhile always costs. Now, to be sure, some of the best things in life are free. The sun is free and the moon is free. Well, that's not even true anymore since the astronauts went to the moon. It's now a pretty expensive proposition. Millions and millions and millions and millions have been spent on the moon. But basically, the beauty of nature is still there. It's free. But the valuable achievements of human experience, the valuable achievements, always cost something. And the more valuable they are, the higher the price. Someone once said to a mother who had seen 2 of her sons enter the ministry and a daughter go to the mission fields, they said to her, I'd give everything for a family like yours. And this mother quietly answered, I did. There is a price tag on everything worth having, and if church membership is not costing you anything, then you can be sure the church means nothing at all of what it's supposed to mean and could mean in your life. Now, there's also this second thing to be understood. Church roles on earth do not necessarily match up to the master role in heaven. The Word of God seems to indicate to us that the master role in heaven ignores church roles on earth. For the emphasis in the Word of God is on experience, not affiliation. In other words, what is the current condition of your relationship to Jesus Christ? Not what church you joined 20 years ago or 40 years ago. I'm not disparaging the importance of officially joining some church, but I am saying there's more to it than just having your name on the roll. You can have your name on four different churches if you want to, and still not have your name recorded on the master's roll in heaven. He says, are you saved? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you at this moment in time know that Jesus Christ saves you from your sin? This moment, do you know that? That which was up to date last year, no matter how good it might have been then, it may not be good enough today if you haven't kept your experience valid and vital and up to date. Back several years ago, when I was still a student in seminary, I worked for a company that was one of the advertisers for the Kansas City Chiefs. They sponsored some of their telecasts and radio broadcasts. And because I was with that company, I was given a bench pass to all the games of the Kansas City Chiefs. Back in those days, they played some of their games on Friday in the exhibition season, as even occasionally they still do. Some of the games were played on Saturday after the college schedules had been completed. On those days when they played on a Friday night or a Saturday, I would use that bench pass and go to the games and sit on the bench with the players and move back and forth and feel like I was king of the world. When I entered the pass gate at the stadium, the guard at the gate looked at my credentials, checked them out carefully, smiled and waved me on through. No problem at all. Oh, how I enjoyed those games. However, if when the new season begins out at Arrowhead, I try to take that pass that I used back there years ago, and go to the pass gate and say, how are you, sir? Good morning, good to see you. Let me see your pass, certainly. Here it is right here. And he looks at that pass and sees that it was for 1963 or 1964. He'd look at me rather quizzically and he'd say, sir, this pass, it's outdated. It won't get you into today's game. You need a pass for 1975. And I would apologize and turn around and go sit in my car and listen to it on the radio. No, I'd have been very unwelcome because my ticket was outdated. I'd failed to keep it valid. And that's precisely the way it is with salvation. We must pay the price to keep it current if we want to pass through heaven's gate one day. You may have made a promise to him 20 years ago, but Jesus says, what are you doing about that promise this morning? Is your relationship with me current and up to date? Remember when Jesus was talking to the church leaders and he told them the parable of the two sons. He said the father told them to go into the vineyard and work. And the first son said, no, I'm not going. But he changed his mind and he went and he worked in the vineyard. The other son said, yes, be glad to go. Certainly get right to it. But he failed to show. He never went. Jesus said, which of the two sons did the will of the father? And the answer is obvious. The one who performed the task, not the one who simply promised. Many are willing to promise, but too few are willing to perform. And the privilege of membership in the church, if it is real, it isn't cheap. I ask you this morning, what price could ever be put on belonging to a fellowship which has literally saved civilization on more than one occasion? On an organization that has kept a candle burning through the darkest ages of man's history? An organization that creates and conserves human freedom? Or what price could be put upon all the blood shed by this fellowship to get the gospel from there to here, from the early history of the church to today's present moment? It began with a cross, a costly cross. Our word this morning said Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Not a building. The church means the people of God. Not a building. It means that Christ loved us so much, he gave himself for us, his beloved. And this was the pattern to be followed across the ages. Just take two little verses out of the Acts of the Apostles, and it reads like a news bulletin. About that time, Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And that was just the beginning. I don't know about you this morning, but I think it's a privilege to have our name written alongside those who gave their lives, their blood, for the sake of the church. And there isn't any way to reduce the cost of this privilege to mere dollars and cents or particular requirements. If we did, not one of us could afford the entry fee. No, you think what you will. There really isn't any such thing as cheap, easy church membership if it's for real. Read the fine print. You'll see what I'm saying is true. Let me read some of that fine print now. Membership in the Church of Jesus Christ involves the cost of accepting a sacrifice made for us. And that's not easy, to let somebody else sacrifice for you because you feel like you owe them that. It places a burden on our hearts, a burden of responsibility, and there isn't any escape from the burden of responsibility of the fact that when we are a part of the church, we're accepting a sacrifice made for us by Jesus. Russell Conwell was a captain in the Union Army. He had an orderly named John Ring. They're engaged in battle one day and they had to make a hasty retreat, and in the process, Captain Conwell lost his sword, which was his badge of authority. His orderly knew this and knew what shame would come to his captain if his captain had to report that he had lost his badge of honor. John Ring made his way back through the battle to get that sword and to save his captain's honor. And in the process, he was injured unto death. Captain Conwell later wrote, "When I stood over his body and realized that he had died for the love of me, I made a vow that I would live thereafter not only my own life, but the life of John Ring, that it might not be lost." And I suggest to you this morning, we're all living two lives, one in the flesh, one in the spirit. We are living out the life of Christ, that his death may not be wasted. We are his love slaves, living out the life of Christ every day. A man took his wife on an ocean cruise. He was a big, strong, healthy looking man. His wife was very fragile and frail and sickly in appearance. While they were on board the ship, it was obvious that the man cared for her deeply. and saw to her every need, took care of her. And one day during the cruise, he overheard someone else make the remark, "Isn't it a shame to see a strong man like that, a slave to such a weak little woman?" Later on, while his wife was resting, he went back and sought the one who made the remark. He said to her, I want to clear something up for you. That lady you see, she's the slave. 15 years ago, I went broke, lost everything I had because of a crooked business partner. I got blamed for everything that happened, and everyone lost confidence in me except one person, my wife. And through the strain of it all, my health broke. She was my nurse. Through her constant care and faith, I recovered physically and financially. But as a result of all her day and night efforts, her health broke. The doctor says she'll never recover. That's why we're on this voyage. But I want you to understand, in calling me her slave, you use the right word, and no master ever had a more willing slave to command. And I say to you this morning, something like this is involved in being a member of the church and accepting all the sacrifice which has been made through the ages. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, not in fancy, but in fact. The cross was for you and me, and everyone who has truly followed Christ has also loved the church and given himself for it. And to accept this places a burden on our hearts, and it's a burden that we ought to accept with joy. There's more fine print. Membership in the church involves something else. It involves the cost of being a redeeming, forgiving, restoring kind of person. Christ came to seek and to save, to forgive the fallen. He came to restore hope to the hopeless. And to be a part of the body of Christ, which the church is, involves being this kind of a person. And that's not easy. But as a German scholar once said, he who would belong to the kingdom of God as a recipient must also belong to it as an agent. If we're to receive, we must be an agent of forgiveness and restoration in the world. To be really a part of the church, true church of Jesus Christ, isn't to be like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, but rather like the father whose love sent him down the road to forgive and restore. And it isn't easy to forgive. But if you belong to the kingdom of God as a recipient, you have to be an agent as well. And if you're an agent of the kingdom of God, you're a forgiving, caring, restoring person. It was said of one man by his friend, "He was the only Christ I ever knew. He was a Messiah in miniature to his world." And to be a part of the church involves being a forgiving, redeeming, restoring person, even after the fashion of Christ himself. And you can't convince me there's anything cheap about that this morning. But finally, there's one more portion of fine print I want to draw to your attention. To choose one out of many other things which we could talk about this morning, church membership also involves the cost of caring. Whenever we really care about some cause or some person, we'd better be ready to pay a price in pain and sorrow and suffering and sacrifice. Let me give you a warning this morning. If you're not ready to pay the price of anxious nights of watching, of possible heartache and disappointment, then don't ever let a little baby come into your home. It costs to care. I was thinking about the arrival of our three children. We didn't know them. We'd never seen them before. In order for me to love them, I didn't have to be officially introduced to them and say to myself, well, give them a little time. I'll see how they shape up before I decide whether or not I'm going to love them. No, the moment I laid eyes upon them, there was something within me that burst forth in love for these precious babies of mine. But when you make that kind of commitment of love, you better watch out. Because when sickness comes and illness comes and hospitals come and all the terrors of life come upon you, your heart is torn within because you care so much about these. You love so much, you make yourself vulnerable to pain that they're experiencing. If you're not ready to sacrifice some of your personal rights and freedoms and run the risk of tears and sorrow and loneliness, then don't ever let yourself care for someone enough to stand by them at an altar and say, until death us do part. No, let me be fair and honest with you this morning. If you don't want to care, then for goodness sakes, don't ever stand at this altar or any altar with your intended next to you and say, I do, I pledge myself to you, I'll love you until death us do part. Because, my friend, if you take that step and make that kind of commitment, you're going to know what it means to suffer and to care. My mother told me not long after my father passed away, and they had a wonderful, loving relationship. She said, now that he's gone, I'm paying the price for a love like we had. And she simply meant that her commitment and his commitment had been so deep, they cared so much that now that the hour of separation had come, there was an anguish in her heart, a loneliness for him she did not know possible. Mark it down. The cost of caring is always high. And so to really belong to the church is to care about what God cares about, to fall in love with his kingdom. And we must be ready to risk our hearts for its sake. And that's never easy or cheap. It means taking a stand in the community against evil with more than just wringing our hands. Because God cares, we care, and we'll do something about it. And if you noticed in your newspapers this week, the Kansas Senate has become reluctant to pass the liquor by the drink issue and to send it on. They think they have enough votes to pass it in the Senate, but they're not sure, and they're concerned about bringing it to a test. And I'll tell you one reason why that is so. Last Sunday when I stood here and told you they were ready to go with it on Monday, things have slowed down considerably. Why? Because the people around have been taking a stand and have been contacting their representatives and their senators saying, no, we don't want that bill passed. And any man who's elected to office is concerned about the people that put him there in the first place. Loving, caring will do something about the evils of our time. It means giving all we have if need be. Our money, our life. Let me tell you something this morning. A person can give to the church without caring, but no person can care about the church without giving. This giving may involve time and money in a way which no one, no person would ever require of us. A visitor to a mission hospital saw a lovely young missionary nurse working to clean the gangrenous wounds of a patient. The odor was stifling. The appearance was enough to make one ill. With love and care and concern, the young missionary nurse carefully cleansed the wound. The visitor looked down at her and said, "Boy, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. She looked up at him, looked him directly in the eyes, and said, "Neither would I." She did it because she cared. And regardless of the impression that some may have about church membership, there is no such thing as cheap, easy membership in the body of Christ. If you think that's true, you just haven't read the fine print. And on this first Sunday morning of Stewardship Month, I ask that everyone here in this sanctuary this morning review your commitment to the Church of Jesus Christ. For if membership in His church has become an easy goal for you, and I say to you, something is very, very wrong. For being a part of His church involves accepting a sacrifice, receiving a burden, being an agent of God in the high cost of caring. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I ask you this morning, what are you giving of yourself for the church He died to build? Will you stand with me for our closing prayer? We invite you to remain standing following the prayer for the choral benediction. Dear Father, this morning we ask You to forgive us if we have been too casual about our commitment to Your work. If You loved Your church, Your people, enough to give Your life for it, then how can we do less? There are so many needs, so many things that need to be done. Help us to review and renew our commitment this morning, to do a better job of involving ourselves in the church You died to build. May now Thy blessing be upon us as we go to our homes. May this new week be the greatest we've ever known because of Your abiding presence in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.